Hello, and welcome to the Nourishing Podcast with your hosts, Melanie Angelus from the Grecian Garden and Emily Morgan from Nourishing Mama. Emily isn't able to be here with us today. All information shared on this podcast relating to specific conditions, health care, preventative care, and healthy lifestyles is presented for general informational purposes only. This podcast is for educational purposes only. Today, we will be speaking with Elisa Keaton from Revelation Wellness. Elisa has developed workout plans you can do in your own home. She also teaches instructors all over the country to spread a powerful message which combines fitness and faith. And she was a speaker at the International Christian Wellness Conference. Hi, Elisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mommy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, I absolutely love your blog posts. I find them just incredibly real and incredibly raw and just inspiring. I mean, you can learn so much about fitness and faith and being just a whole person.
Yeah.
And I love the t-shirts that you have and the designs and the phrases are just so unique. My favorite one is absolutely bold in the soul. just love that one. Did you design all of them?
You know what? It's a collaborative effort. The design, that Bold in the Soul, the t-shirt itself was designed by Jesse Conley of Naptime Diaries. He's a good friend of mine, also a participant in what we do here at Revelation Wellness. And So she designed the shirt. Actually, I think one of our instructors came to me and said, this just came over me. I felt like this is who we are and this is what we're calling people to be, Bold in the Soul. And I love that. So
yes. It's
everyone's comes up with ideas. Love is greater than fear is probably one of our most common one that we use a lot. But I think that pretty much sums up the gospel message is that love is greater than fear. And when it comes to wellness and fitness, I think that we can see that the motive is either driven by love or driven by fear. And so we just really want to spread the message of God's love. And God's love makes us whole and healthy and fit for our purpose.
Absolutely. And that message definitely comes across. It truly is a message of love that you share. And you seem to almost intertwine fitness and faith so perfectly. Can you tell us a little bit about your fitness and faith journey?
Yeah. Well, I am a broken little girl. Fitness and faith were nothing that I saw coming together for me ever. I've always been very active and did fitness. I was a tomboy. I loved being active. In college, I really fell into the aerobics scene kind of in the late 80s, early 90s. But it was fitness is one thing. And then my faith was kind of on the other side of the spectrum. They existed, but they didn't coexist in a holistic way. And I was the last person that you would think would do this. I pursued fitness as a profession. I loved it. I loved helping people. I love to encourage people. I always tell people, don't tell me your dream unless you want me to keep you accountable to it, because I believe truly that if God gives you a dream or a vision, that it's not just to tease you. But I would be a really great personal trainer and very successful. I loved it and knew how to help people lose weight. Mm-hmm. But I also, as my own inner journey, was pretty broken on the outside. It would look like I had it all together. I had the body, I had the money, I had the marriage, I had everything on the outside, but on the inside, I just wasn't satisfied. And I saw that same dissatisfaction in a lot of my clients, even those who would come to me and pinch a little fat here and say they wanted this muscle, you know, what it kind of redesign their physique.
Yeah.
But what I just started to see the same kind of dissatisfaction in their heart and eyes and soul that I was feeling in mine, even though we seem to have it all together. And even my overweight clients who made fitness the very, you know, if I could just have this, then I'll be happy. And God just came crashing in on my personal life for me and helped me understand that I needed a savior, that he loved me and was calling me home to him. So then I slowly started I was growing in my faith. This was probably about 18 years ago. And but still doing fitness and still doing faith. And you could never have told me they would coexist together until one day, a woman at church, I was kind of discipling early on in my walk to return to Christ to really understand. I would call myself a Christian my whole life, but really didn't get it till about 18 years ago when I needed something. I knew I was lacking. And someone mentioned to me, you know, you're created for a purpose and you really like this fitness thing. Maybe God's given you something in the fitness world. And I thought, you gotta be crazy. There is nothing in the fitness world that has anything to do with faith. And a friend of mine at that point said, you know, they have this thing called Christian aerobic. Again, this was 18 years ago. Maybe you should look into that. And I looked at my friend and I said, that is stupid and I will never, ever do that. I didn't get it. And then eventually, as I started noticing my own poverty and lack and seeing how I could use fitness or controlling food or trying to control my life in any way, was really a place where God was trying to get my attention. So I started just searching out, asking the Lord, reading more in the scriptures. He started illuminating more of it, how it's a holistic call to the gospel, to love him with heart, mind, soul, and strength. And it's just been a journey for the last, I would say, probably about 10 years that I've really been on the journey, threw my hat in the ring and said, okay, all right, let's do this fitness faith thing. And I honestly now don't know any other way. I mean, I think a workout is one of the most holistic things you can do. And God is so for that. And he's the God of good things. But it's easy to make a good thing our God thing. And so I think that's where I stand in the gap and say, hey, let's all do this, but let's keep it in a really well-balanced mindset.
Wow, what a journey. And that journey and what you went through, I mean, you're just helping so many people. And you've even developed these workout plans, and you have several of them. You have the Chair Today, Gone Tomorrow. You have a VIP TV, which is a subscription, and you also have a Way Less to Feed More. Can you tell us about those programs and kind of how they came about and who they're for?
Yeah. The first of the first was Way Less to Feed More. Like I said, as a fitness trainer for many years, I knew how to help people go from A to B to C to D, whatever their journey was. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that came in fitness challenges or kind of programs. And people feel good when they have a starting point and kind of an end point and then, you know, something to work towards. So one of the first things I did was begin to write that curriculum. And actually, I did it. God really gave me a heart for it. I told God, listen, I'll do this faith and fitness thing, but I have a real heart for the underdogs of the world. Like I said, I'm an encourager. If you think you can't, I really believe you can if God's calling you to it. So I asked him to make, if we could do this, I'll do faith and fitness, but I wanted it to matter. I wanted it to go beyond our own selves. I wanted it to do what Christ came to do, is to serve and not to be served. And so the Way Less to Feed More really became this curriculum of saying, all right, we're going to look at our physical poverty, which people would say you're physically poor, you know, if you can't do a push-up, okay, you're physically lacking, so we can strengthen that. But there's a physical poverty that we have that we're pretty familiar with, but spiritual poverty is one of the greater places where God wants to meet us. It's an inside-out place. So Way Less to Feed More was about helping people to get healthy, before the Lord, really taking it in God in a holistic view. It's a completely different look at how to look at exercise and food and worry and stress and relationship, really. It's about a relationship with God and with others and even with food and exercise and how to balance those out. But when we do that, when we're balanced and in right relationship with God and ourselves and food and work and all these things, we also will love others well. It's just an outpouring of who we are as an image bearer of God, that when we love God and are well in our heart and mind and soul and strength, we will push out love into the world. So the Way Less is kind of us to weigh less in whatever's weighing us down. I'm not big on counting calories or weighing in pounds. Mm-hmm. I feel like the body will work itself out as we get honest about what's weighing us down in our soul and our spirit, our spiritual poverty, what we're lacking. And then the Feed More, in Way Less to Feed More, people find goals or kind of something that they're trying to do for others, because fitness can be so self-motivated and so self-consumed that we encourage people to come to the program. Some will, it's really simple. Some actually go and do fundraising for a cause that they believe in. You know, they might run a 5K or 3K or whatever as part of their Way Less to Feed More journey. But some people will just make the phone call that they've been putting off to make, to ask for forgiveness from someone that they know that they should. Like, it's that Feed More, to love others more. So that's what happens in that 8-week program. It really is a weight loss wellness program. But again, I always put air quotes around the word weight, because the minute I say weight loss, the people can tell me, how many pounds they want to lose. Mm. And I can't promise them that anymore. I could once upon a time, mm-hmm. and I could get you the weight that you want to lose, but it wouldn't stay off, or people weren't really free. Yeah. I'd rather see free men and women than mm-hmm. skinny men and women. Yeah. So that's what the Whale to Feed More program was. It started there, and then Share Today, Gone Tomorrow was a way to help people move their bodies who could say, I can't, you know, I hurt when I stand there. Or there are the overweight and obese, and I call that population because that's what the medical term would call them, mm-hmm. overweight, the obese population. Mm-hmm. We started with some YouTube videos that really took off, some 10-minute chair videos. Mm-hmm. Probably still to this day, I think one of our most viewed videos and the most commented on. People say, thank you for this. And so I kind of thought, you know, I'm going to create a program for them that's 8 weeks long where we use the chair as a tool, not as a crutch, to help them to be able to still move and have being. I've always said to my instructors or my community, I tell you, we're all headed towards the chair. I don't know if you all know that, but yeah. Our bodies are, as we age, I mean, I want to push it off as long as I can for as long as the good Lord has me here. I want to be strong and well, but eventually a chair tends to be more comfortable than standing and moving. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to be in a chair, I want to be able to worship God and to be well if mm-hmm. I'm in a chair. So we started there, and then VIP TV was an extension. They're going, okay, now everybody, no matter where you're at, if you're extreme fitness, which I try to address that word extreme, or if you're just a high-intensity enthusiast, mm-hmm. beginning of the road or middle of the road, we just had online at-home workout programs, workout classes, and work-ins. So we do a lot about body image and kind of renewing our mind about why our motive of even doing the workout classes are, so that we're really doing holistic fitness and wellness. So those are all at-home 20-minute, 30-minute videos. You can just push play and have all types of classes back there. So I say that was where we just wanted to meet everybody. I really feel the Revelation wants you to come. There is something for everybody to try and get a taste. And in the end, we really, really are about the love of God and making his word come alive in our life and taking hold of his word, because that's who we are. We're his kids. We're created in his image. And so coming back to that place of the motive, the heart motive, will make the workouts transcend any ordinary workout.
Oh, I love that. And the TV, the subscription sounds really great. Seems like it's for any level, and you can do it in your own home. I think that's just so great for most people have a computer. I mean, they can watch the fitness session, but I love it that you have that holistic approach to it where it's about changing, you know, the inside too. And that holistic approach to wellness it's just a great focus, I think to have. And you actually did a blog post on the best weight loss. Oh, the only weight loss supplement that you will need is humility, which I thought was really interesting. Can you tell us a little bit about what that means?
Yeah. You know, we live in I remember about probably 12, 13 years ago, I was at a fitness conference, probably right before I started taking and writing my first anything, Faith and Fitness, that Whale Us to Feed More program. Right before I did that program, I was at a conference that said, you know, that the wellness industry is going to be the next $1 trillion industry. So know your thing, know your voice, and put your flag in the ground and make a mark, because it's going to grow and be expansive. So, you know, find your voice. And I remember thinking that, and we are there. I mean, it has grown and it won't stop growing. So there's so many choices and voices when it comes to what one can do to feel well, have more energy, lose belly fat, or anything that we know is just all kinds are out there. And I really felt compelled. It's such a noisy kind of environment that it's easy to get swept up in what we can do and how we can control it, the next plan we can try and the next fad that might be our fit. And humility is one of those things that I think it's overlooked. I see a lot of flashiness, a lot of selfies and flexing, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I just worry. I think it's very very easy for fitness because I've been there. I traveled that road where it became about me. It became about really trying to hold on to my strength. Aging becomes something everyone fears, and whether we like it or not, we're going to age. And yes, we can age well, but it's impossible to hold on to that same energy or strength and power that we had in our early, our teen years, our 20s. It happens. So humility allows us to take each day for what it is and give gratitude and receive with gratitude that we really are. It's a gift. It's a gift of grace for each day. And only through humility can we humble ourselves. And the word humility itself in the Greek, as we might hear it when Paul says, do not be anxious about, or don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, value others above yourself. Now, that's a tough one, because I think most fitness people would say, well, I'm taking care of myself so that I can love others. I think we have to be real careful when this fitness becomes the thing that we think we have to have in order to love others. The word humility itself is to have a humble opinion of oneself, a deep sense of one's moral littleness, meaning we know we're really small in this, and modesty and a lowliness of mind. It's who Christ was. We stop and think about it. It's who Christ was. He came to serve and not to be served. He was humbled himself to the cross. That humility is like the most powerful thing we can do and have in life. Like I said, it's to take each day for what it is. Released when we feel like, oh, I've got to get to the gym. Oh, I didn't do that. Or when we feel like punishing ourselves because we had sugar and we shouldn't have had sugar. Humility is the pathway to grace, and grace is the power to live by the Spirit, not the permission to live by the flesh. Humility is just one of those beautiful things that I think we'll all spend the rest of our life having to undertake it. As I call it a supplement, because I need it daily, because if I don't have humility as a child of God, I will raise myself up to be God. I will make my plans, my desires, my body, whatever the thing that I think, well, I could have this and I should have this if I work hard enough. And we're saved by grace and not through works, so nobody can boast. So humility to me is this ever onward journey that we're all on if holistic health is truly what we're after.
Wow, that is such a unique perspective on humility, and I think it really just puts our eyes on Christ. And it almost seems like when you work out or you go to the gym, it's kind of like you want to pat yourself on the back, but really, it's like our eyes should be on Christ. So I think that's a really great perspective to have. I think is interesting is that our identity in Christ, and how does finding our identity in Christ help our physical bodies?
Yeah, so good. That's such a great question. We do that all with all our instructors that come through training. They come to a 5-day retreat, and one of the first things we hit off right off the bat is design, original design. And I love that word, original, because each one of us are unique design and thumbprint of who God is. We've heard before that each one of us represents an image, or an image bearer of God that nobody else is, was, or will ever be. He is a God of infinite creation, where each child he makes, each DNA strand that puts us together, he's interested in, he knits us together in our mother's womb. He's very much excited about who we are. He called us a good idea. It was a good idea to have Melanie on this earth. And when he creates with great purpose. And original design, unique to who we are. And he doesn't make a mistake with our bodies either. I truly believe that. The size of our hips, the shape, the size, the color, the shape of our nose, whatever it is, he's not surprised by it. And it's exactly what he wanted. And the world does a fierce job at trying to change that and conform it to something that we call, or they would call, beautiful or powerful or effective or influential or whatever that is. So we know we're inundated with so much noise about that, that when we come back to going, God really is interested in me. He loves me. He's passionate about me. If it was only me, he would have come for me. Like, we can receive that type of intimate love from him. Then our design starts to pop up. Then we feel bold, like that song that Bethel sings, that you make me brave.
Yes.
We receive his love. then we can be truly who we are. And then our bodies just become a reflection. Then we're also free to go, you know, I think God's telling me I need to go to bed earlier. I feel like God, my body is tired. I'm probably have a lot of sugar. Like, we're able to hear more who God is as we're in relationship with him as his beloved. Then every other thing in life starts to work it out. It's Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be given to you. Well, the seek first is God is the Father, the author, the creator, and not a distant father, but the kindest father none of us have ever known, or maybe some of us have had on this earth. And that we're just scraping the surface, as Paul would say, that we would know the depths of this love, the height, the width. We'll spend the rest of our life knowing it, that we're unique. He loves us for who we are, unique to any other love he has for somebody else. But he loves us all uniquely and corporately. As we get into that love affair with him, our design becomes more important and powerful because he wants to set us free to do what we've been created to do. Long ago in eternity past, he had work set out for us to do, and only if we can do it. So design is important, that we do it in our voice. We speak in our way and have our input, our kind of our influx or dialect with how we do it, design. And I think it just excites God. That's why, you know, Romans 12:2 would say, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind is also this beautiful, intimate heart space of who God says you are, not what the world says.
That is so good. I mean, receiving his love, we can become who we're supposed to be, and then our bodies reflect that. Now, that is a beautiful picture, and so often we don't really see that in the church. We don't really see healthy in the church. They don't always go together. How can we change that?
Well, you know, I think we come from a time where the body has been kind of thought as not really needed. I mean, the body has been, that it's just less than the spirit. And I would just say, how could that be true when Christ himself was given a body you prepared for me? And his body, without who Christ was, who came, that Christ walked on earth, he touched the leper, he sat down and had lunch with his disciples after coming back. He was very physical as much as he was spiritual, which made him, which began the revolution. We have a revolution of Christianity because there was a man in the flesh who came and died and resurrected. The body has this importance in how we love people and how we care for people. I think it's been, as far as church culture, I believe it's changing, but it has been suppressed for so long as not important. Now, we do not want to raise it up. Let me say that. I'm not interested in raising up the importance of the body to anything where it should be worshipped, but I think if we can bring it in, leaders from the pulpit say this matters too. Don't worship it, but use it. This is where worship happens.
Yeah.
And we not be afraid of it, you know, and kind of bring it into submission, into agreement of our holistic life in God, heart, mind, soul, and strength. I hope it's starting to happen more. I think there now tends to be, here's my concern, is I'm seeing a lot more of faith and fitness where someone's standing in their bikini and flexing a muscle and then putting scripture over it. And I go, that's not it either. That's the humility thing. Would go, I see a lot of flesh and body there. I don't want to, I'm going to love you whether you have a six-pack abs or not.
Right.
I don't need to know that, to know that God is in you and strong. So I can also see how the church, if we're not careful, can go, we don't want that either. We don't want to become so much about the flesh and putting our 1 Corinthians 6:19 over my selfie of me flexing. So you know what I'm saying? It's a really delicate line we walk when we bring the body into a message of the gospel.
Okay, wow. I mean, you definitely highlighted some interesting points. And, you know, a lot of women, I think, they face barriers when they want to get fit, either because they're busy with their family or their career. But what are some barriers that they face, and how can they overcome some of those?
Yeah, here's what I think a great big barrier is the weight of it all, that it feels like it's a lot they're going to have to do or commit to. So it seems like so much, like such a sacrifice that they go, I don't have time. Like the big picture seems way too big. And so it's kind of that black or white thinking of all or nothing. Like, I can't carve out an hour a day. It's too hard. If I have to cook healthy meals, then my children will be upset, and it'll be hard to make these shifts or changes. And I think it's because we're looking at the huge picture, and it's like trying to eat an elephant at one meal. I feel I'm really, and this is what we teach our instructors, is how to let the voice of God, because he's personally involved with all of us, if we invite him to be that, to lead us through the things that we can do each day, the one thing, or the one thing, we're just really small ways. We're definitely the tortoise in the race.
Yeah.
We're not looking for a big, strong, fast appearance and flash in the pan. We're asking for people to do that one next best yes in agreement with what God's asking them to do. So it's, like I said, just to go to bed earlier. Is that the thing, the obedient act that always brings blessing? Obedience always brings blessing. If we could just say, okay, that's my training this week. My training is to drink more water this week. And my training is to, I'm going to do a VIP TV video 3 times this week. And then we always say, hold it loosely, because things will happen.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of women that once they, they slip a day or they miss a day, then it's just this self-condemnation, this agreement that nothing's going to change. And we know that's not who God is. God is always the God of immeasurably more than what we can ask or imagine. And it's to stay in relationship one moment at a time. So I think that's probably the most common. They feel overwhelmed by having to do it all. And I say, you don't have to do it all. You just have to do one thing. What's that one thing today?
I love that. And I think that's completely accomplishable if they can just do one thing. So I think that's a really great tip. Well, this has been absolutely enlightening, Alisa. Where can people learn more about you and your work? And do you have anything new coming up?
Yeah, you can come over to revelationwellness.org. We have, like I said, everything you've mentioned over there, all our online and at-home programs. We always have stuff coming up. We have a rim-to-rim hike where we take people through the Grand Canyon in one day. Now, we train people to do that. Like I said, I'm about to... I love God. The things that we would say, that's impossible. I go, well, let's ask the Lord if it is possible. And we do that teacher training. We're always raising up new instructors. We will be doing another class, prepping another class over the summer. Always new stuff, and that's why I said follow the blog, and people will stay in contact with the next best thing that's coming down the line.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Alisa. I encourage everyone to check out Alisa's website at revelationwellness.org. And if you are interested in being interviewed on our podcast or have questions, please email us at thenourishingpodcast@gmail.com or check out our respective websites, thegreciangarden.com and nourishingmama.blogspot.com. This is Melanie wanting you all to live a nourished life.